You are listening to Chat with a Cat, and it's right here on KPAY Sports 1290. Some of the topics discussed on today's episode of Chat with a Cat might be sensitive for some listeners. Parental guidance is recommended. We welcome you back to Chat with a Cat. It's right here on KPAY Sports 1290. We talk with an influential current or former Chico State Wildcat every week right here on KPAY Sports 1290. And a special guest today, especially it's appropriate during Mental Health Awareness Month, and we'll be getting to that later on in the interview, but it's former Chico State men's basketball player Jason Conrad. He was the big man in the middle. If you don't remember him from 2009 to 2013, he was one of the linchpins in a lot of respects. With the great success that Greg Klink's teams have had over the past decade plus, Jason was really the first big post player for the Wildcats that really became the backbone of this program that is really leaning and their identity is on defense. He changed a lot of shots, he blocked a lot of shots, and he was instrumental in a lot of the Wildcats' success. Jason, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Jason Conrad, I love asking the question about how you found your way to Chico State. Many student athletes have a bit of a circuitous route, but what was your route to Chico? How did you, I'm sure you had schools that were kind of inquiring about how you could help their basketball program, but what made Chico State a good fit for you?
Yeah, definitely. So coming out of high school, I was one of the top recruits in California and ended up shattering my ankle 4 games into my senior year. And that essentially landed me at Portland State University. Going into my freshman year at Portland State, I ended up getting sick, and that's something I'll touch on later, but got sick, took the year off. And my best friend, who was my high school assistant basketball coach and history teacher, him and his wife went to Chico, and he's the one that introduced me to Chico and Greg Klink, and you guys know the rest of the story from there.
Absolutely. So did you take a visit and say, oh, this is a great place for me? And a lot of people say, hey, great place, but is it a good fit? How did you feel about what did coach tell you when you were thinking of coming here, when they were inquiring about bringing you here, and was the fit as good as it turned out to be?
So in all honesty, I went there without the intention of playing basketball. I was at a point in my life where I just wanted to have a fun college experience. And anyone that knows anything about Chico knows that that is the place you go for an awesome social college experience. And I ended up talking to Coach Klink afterwards. And after talking to him and his vision and what the program was about is when I actually decided to play basketball there.
That he has a way when you get you to talk about it, because he is usually quite honest. He's always quite honest with prospective recruits. I mean, he's not going to probably project something that you're maybe not capable of, and maybe he's going to say, you may see yourself in a certain role, but I see you in a different role. Is that kind of how the conversation went?
Yeah, absolutely. And talking to Coach Klink, he's a player's coach. He's one of those guys that's really easy to talk to. He's personable, and that's not always the case with a lot of head coaches.
We're talking with Jason Conrad, former Chico State men's basketball player. So you come to Chico. You're not expecting to play basketball, but you decide to play basketball. And what was that experience like? Because I do remember you were part of teams when this program was starting to be built. It's when Coach Klink kind of took over the program, and he told me when he first got here, I want to build this on defense, and right now we're not a very good defensive team, but you need to have guys like a Jason Conrad to be a good defensive team. What was it like in those first few years as Chico State's beginning to build an identity as a solid basketball program?
It was great. I'm very big on team chemistry, and going on my visit and being able to meet the guys, I think is a huge factor for me. And I'm a true believer that, chemistry off the court translates to chemistry on the court. And we were a super tight-knit group. We did pretty much everything together. And that, like I said, definitely translated on the court. Small world, Greg ended up being from my hometown, so he knew who I was, but I wasn't 100% on who he was when I first got there. And So he kind of knew the stats. I led California in block shots my sophomore year and then just escalated from there. And so I think he knew what he was getting with me and that defensive presence. But, yeah, playing with that team, like, we were super cohesive and we just all clicked on all cylinders. So it made playing fun, but it made defense, offense, everything come supernaturally.
You know, you were a player that I thought was the word that's coming to mind is underutilized, but that would make it seem like you were not you weren't given the opportunity to show your offensive skills, and that certainly wasn't the case because I thought you were one of the best offensive players, like spot up jump shooter when there would be dribble penetration and you would kind of leak out to a wing or to the baseline left, baseline right. You really had a knack for knocking down that shot. You had a good jump shot, good little set shot, jump shot from the corners. Talk about that part of your game as well, because a lot of guys come in and they're, okay, you're going to be a defensive guy. What is this going to mean for my offensive game? But you did have an offensive game.
Yeah, going into it, you know, talking with the guys, playing with the guys, practice, I knew we were going to be guard heavy and a lot of our offense was going to be orchestrated around the guards. And I'm definitely the type of player where if we're winning, I'm not too worried about getting my shots up as long as I'm able to do my part to get other guys their shots up. And as long as we're winning, I'm okay with that. So, yeah, coming into Chico, I was, give you a little bit of perspective. My first day of freshman year, I was 302 pounds. So I was a big. I was able to slim down to 275 for my first two seasons. And it definitely allowed me to take up a lot of the paint and bully some people inside. And then I was able to get down to 236 for my junior and senior year. And that kind of opened up the door a little bit as far as my ability to run the floor and move along the perimeter and outside. And yeah, definitely with the Chico team, that short corner elbow area was my bread and butter. And that, I mean, it changed with every team I went to after Chico, but yeah, being with the guys I was with, that was what worked the best for us.
Was it strictly a diet thing or was it a workout thing or
it was a little bit of both. There's some underlying stories, which, yeah, we'll definitely touch on at some point in this interview. But, yeah, it was just me trying to change some habits for sure.
We're talking with Jason Conrad, former Chico State men's basketball player. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about his professional career. He graduated from Chico State, and and we're going to talk a little bit about his art. Being around the program, I was able to just get a little bit, and you know, seeing some of his social media pages, he's an incredible artist, and he is quite creative off the court as well. But we will get into his professional foray as well, and then it is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Jason has been so kind to bring awareness to some of the mental health issues that he faced, and he wants to share that and maybe help someone who might be dealing with some issues, whatever it may be, and how they might be able to get help, and some of the things that he's doing right now to further the cause and help people who do need help. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of Chat with a Cat with Jason Conrad, former Chico State men's basketball player, right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
The Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger is back at Carl's Jr. The 100% Angus beef topped with steak seasoning lets you know it's premium. The dripping A1 sauce lets you know it's delicious. My elusive whisper lets you know it's decadent. Go eat the Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger, part of the Angus Burger lineup at Carl's Jr. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. Price of participation may vary. A1 is a registered trademark of Kraft Foods.
You are listening to Chat with a Cat, and it's right here on KPAY Sports 1290. Some of the topics discussed on today's episode of Chat with a Cat might be sensitive for some listeners. Parental guidance is recommended. Welcome back to Chat with a Cat with former Chico State Wildcat basketball player Jason Conrad, who joins us today as we talk with an influential Chico State Wildcat from the past or the present, and it's the past today. We had mentioned during our last segment, Jason, an accomplished artist, a very good artist. If you've had a chance to see some of his work, it's really amazing. It kind of takes you aback because you get so embroiled, at least I did, with, oh, he's a basketball player, and how is he you know, boxing out? Is he doing this? He's doing that. But you really get into what makes some of these student athletes tick. And your art, truly amazing. When did you realize you had a gift, and when did you start really, really developing it?
Art was my first love. I've always been an artist. My dad was actually an art major in college, so I think it was, you know, a hand-me-down from him and something I truly just fell in love with at a super young age. I remember always having either coloring books or the how-to-draw books, and I had a huge, huge collection of all these how-to-draw books over the years. And actually, when I left Chico, I gifted them to Coach Klink's kids when they were just little guys, and I know they're all grown now, but yeah, so it just was something that always stuck with me. And, you know, going through high school, when I wasn't playing basketball and I wasn't hanging out with friends, I was always drawing. So art has been a passion of mine since I can remember.
I have to think that when you became a professional basketball player, and after your graduation, you went and you played in Europe, right?
Yeah, I was able to play in nine different countries.
I imagine for an artist, and I'm just hearkening back to when I visited Italy, and I remember going and seeing, I would go and look at all these amazing pieces of art, whether they're in a plaza or in an art gallery, and there were high school kids, grade school kids, adults, and they set up their pads, they set up their easels, and they're drawing these magnificent pieces of art from centuries ago. I imagine when you got to play basketball in these foreign countries and in Europe, this afforded you a great opportunity to develop your talent for art and your love of art.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was fortunate enough to play my first season in the Netherlands, and MC Escher, Dutch artist, is one of my favorite artists. So I got to visit his museum. I got to visit the Van Gogh House and Museum. And I definitely made it a point, no matter where I was at in the world, to incorporate art into whatever I was doing, whether it was teaching or learning. And it was definitely a great experience from every country I was in.
Your professional basketball career, how was that? You said you played in nine different countries. How long did you play, and what was the experience like?
Oh, it was awesome. I loved it. I was able to play all over Europe, China, Australia, Taiwan, Canada, and I absolutely loved it. Like you said, from the art aspect, it was amazing. Obviously, playing basketball was amazing. And then I'm a big foodie, so usually I was one of the only Americans when I was in these foreign countries, such as, you know, China or Taiwan, where I was eating the local food and definitely immersing myself in the local culture. And yeah, it was great. I was fortunate enough to play up until 2017. I took some seasons off in between there. But yeah, actually the last team I played for was the Yakima Sun Kings, and I played alongside Robert Duncan. So,
oh, fantastic.
It was a great experience.
You know, you hear so often, and you hear it from young kids, and they say, I've got to go Division One. I've got to go Division One. That's my goal. I've got to go Division One. That's the only way I'm going to be able to further my career. And here I sit, and I'm looking at, I got Jason Conrad. I got Jay Flores. I got Robert Duncan. I've got Amir Caraway. I had Giordano Estrada. I had Mike Rosaroso. I'm Jordan Semple, who is still playing and continuing to play at a very high level. And I know I'm missing a few. I mean, over the past decade, I don't know if there has been a Division II program, at least in the West region, that has had as many student athletes go and play professionally in the pro ranks. I mean, if there was an aspiring basketball player that said they had to go Division I, what would you say to them?
I would say go where you best fit. I mean, when it comes down to it, as long as you can play, there's going to be an opportunity for you. I have a great example. I played with a guy in Australia. His name's Tanner McGrew, and he played at a little D2 school in the Midwest, and he was a music major. He played the tuba. He didn't even get recruited to play basketball. He ended up leading Division II in rebounds, played his first pro season with me in Australia, and then got picked up by the G League, played with the Jazz for a little bit, and now he's playing the highest level in South America. And it just goes to show you that, you know, as long as you're working hard and giving yourself the right opportunities, then someone's going to notice you.
That is Jason Conrad. He has joined us today on Chat with a Cat, former Chico State Wildcat. What a standout player. You couldn't miss him. Big, tall guy, great defensive player, had great skill set on the offensive end, and he had some really nice art on his arms, by the way, too. The ink was very, very impressive. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about mental health. Jason has struggled at times in his life with mental health. He has gone through recovery, and now in a lot of respects, his life's goal is to help people to make sure that if they're suffering with some mental health issues, that they talk about it and they do seek help. And Jason will talk about his experience and things that people can do and how he's trying to help as an individual. When we come back right here on Chat with a Cat, right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
The Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger is back at Carl's Jr. The 100% Angus beef, topped with steak seasoning, lets you know it's premium. The dripping A1 sauce lets you know it's delicious. My elusive whisper lets you know it's decadent. Go eat the Steakhouse Angus Thick Burger, part of the Angus Burger lineup at Carl's Jr. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating Carl's Jr. restaurants. Price and participation may vary. A1 is a registered trademark of Kraft Foods.
You are listening to Chat with a Cat, and it's right here on KPAY Sports 1290. Some of the topics discussed on today's episode of Chat with a Cat might be sensitive for some listeners. Parental guidance is recommended. We welcome you back to Chat with a Cat right here on KPAY Sports 1290. Our special guest today, former Chico State men's basketball player Jason Conrad. We've been talking about his time at Chico State, his professional career, his love of art. And with it being May and Mental Health Awareness Month, Jason Conrad really appeared to be the perfect fit. Now, in covering Jason for the 4 years that he was on the Chico State men's basketball team, I mean, maybe those close to him realized there were some things that he was dealing with. Me as the broadcaster, I dealt primarily with things that were on the basketball court. But Jason, you've shared rather frankly over the past couple of years your struggles with some mental health issues and some of the things that you've gone through. And now your desire to help people who might be going through some mental health issues. And, you know, we've seen professional players say, listen, I've got Kevin Love for one. I've got some mental health things. I've got to talk to somebody. I need help. I need to talk with people, and I need to get some direction. Talk to us about, was it a problem for you for years? When did you realize that maybe you did need some help when it came to mental health?
Touching back on how I got to Chico State and my journey. So like I said, I originally had a full ride to Portland State. And then my freshman year, I was struggling with depression and anxiety, and it was all new to me. So I was unsure if it was normal or what was going on, just because I didn't know any different. And I ended up walking into my coach's office and gave up my full ride and went straight to the doctor. And I was diagnosed bipolar. So for those of you that don't know what bipolar is, it's extreme highs and extreme lows, and you kind of have no control of regulating it. So I decided to take the year off. And then, like, as I said before, talked to my high school assistant basketball coach, and he's the one that introduced me to Chico. And at that point in time, my thought process was, I want to go somewhere where I'm going to have fun and be able to excel socially. And I was able to meet with Coach Klink, and I didn't actually find out that Coach Klink knew I was bipolar until I was talking with my buddy Dirks, who's the one that introduced me to him, a couple years ago. And he had disclosed my full, story to Coach Klink. And so I didn't tell anyone or say anything to anyone for the first 2 years of playing there. But it was definitely a struggle because I was still learning. I didn't know what was going on. I was kind of back and forth between different medications, trying to regulate my mood. And I just was in that headspace that a lot of us get in where I didn't want to ask for help because I didn't want to seem weak.
And when you get to that point, and you know, with my limited experience in mental health, the drugs and the medications, I should say, that they give you, they've got to find the right dosages that fit what you might be dealing with. That's very difficult because there's a process in that. Was there a process in that for you where maybe over a period of months or maybe even years, you were still trying to figure out what was best for you and what medications worked best for you?
Yeah, definitely. This was years it took to kind of figure some stuff out. So going into Chico my freshman year, well, let's rewind a little bit. So graduating from high school, I was 210 pounds. And then my first day on the Chico State campus, I was 302 pounds. And a lot of that was due to a medication I was taking, where one of the side effects was that you retain weight. And so I kind of was trying to learn how to regulate that. And then when I lost all the weight between my sophomore and junior year, I had switched medications. And so I was able to drop a lot of weight due to that. And yeah, it was a struggle. And it's, I think, one of the toughest things because it's one of those things where are the side effects from the drug worth what they're actually helping you with? And, you know, struggling with mental health and just emotions in general, you get caught in a crossroads of what is worth it to you. And yeah, there were a lot of medications that turned me into, I guess, a zombie, like where I was just kind of going through the motions. I didn't really care about anything, which definitely made going to workouts hard, made going to school hard. But I've always been street smart as far as being able to find my resources. And I was able to get myself a 504 accommodation where I was able to go to the disability center, get extra time on tests, be able to use open notes and do whatever I had to make sure I was excelling in school.
How did the process go while you were at Chico State? It sounds like during that whole thing, I mean, you're playing basketball, you're excelling, you're playing at a high level. But during a lot of those times, you, as you just said, you're kind of just going through it. I mean, you're just kind of going through the motions in a lot of respects because you're still trying to deal with the mental health and the medications that are trying to keep you on that even keel.
No, definitely. I mean, and as much as I hate to say it, I definitely was not able to play to my full potential while I was at Chico. You guys kind of got a half-keeled version of what I was capable of, and it was a lot of it, or you know, I'll say 99% of it was due to the struggle of what I was going through and unable to regulate. And you know, on top of study hall and practice and classes, I was also having to go to therapy sessions, and I was having to go talk to different doctors about medications, and it was a struggle. And I was fortunate enough where I met my first wife, first day of freshman year, and I definitely would not have gotten through my 4 years at Chico State without her. And then obviously the, you know, help of my circle at that point in time. And like I said, until my junior year, none of the guys knew anything. And Coach Klink was great enough to be able to, he actually, you know, found a video on YouTube, pulled the team into the office before practice and played this video that kind of explained what bipolar was and what I was going through. And then after that, I had a ton of support from my teammates. because they had no idea. And I think, you know, one of those things that comes along with mental health is your ability to hide things. And I think the biggest blessing I've ever had is learning to ask for help, because it just makes a world of difference when you know you have people that care in your corner.
How supportive were, I mean, you guys were close-knit. I kind of know the answer to this, but what was the support like from your Chico State teammates?
Oh, I mean, right off the bat, after they were able to watch the video, they, you know, were able to ask me questions. And, I mean, literally everybody on the team was like, if you ever need anything, hit me up, no matter what time it is. Yeah, I mean, I got closer with some guys than others in that regard as far as talking about stuff. But knowing that I had the support of every guy on the team definitely made those last 2 years way easier for me to get through.
So you have this incredible support system, but then in 2013, you leave. You're done playing collegiate basketball. Now you're playing professional basketball. And in a weird kind of way, now, you know, that support system, now you're on your own. And now you're going to all these different cities and all these different towns and these different teams and different countries. How was it then? How did you deal with the mental health issues and the medications and everything then?
It was extremely difficult. Luckily, my first season I played in the Netherlands, and my mom immigrated here from the Netherlands, so I had some family over there. I had never met them before, but I had family over there. And, you know, trying to, you know, because when you get an agent and you're talking to these teams, you don't disclose that you have mental health issues. That's not something you want teams to know. And I think that's tough for a lot of players, because there's a lot of athletes, a ton of athletes that suffer from depression or anxiety. But, you know, there's this standard that athletes have to be mentally tough because of what they do. But I can definitely say being mentally tough on a basketball court is completely different than being mentally tough in everyday life, because there's this whole aspect of you're able to use that as an outlet. But when you're in everyday life, finding those outlets is a little more difficult. So I ended up, the girl I met first day of freshman year of college, we ended up getting married, and then I left for my first season in the Netherlands. And it was tough being away, not really having anyone that I knew. And it was definitely a learning and growing experience for me. And I can say now that I believe everything happens for a reason, that I went through certain things when I was younger for a reason, to prepare me for things that I went through later on in life. But yeah, I came home for my first season and I was really struggling mental health wise.
Did you think about quitting?
Oh, absolutely. I got done with that season and I thought that was going to be it. And I'll get into a little bit of the harder part of the story right now. So I got home and I had this whole feeling like I was just being a burden on everyone, that my issues I had to deal with on my own because I don't want to drag anyone else into it. And the first thing I did was told my wife at the time that I didn't want to be with her, and it was my backhanded way of trying to protect her because I didn't know what was going on with me, and I didn't want her to have to deal with those issues. So we ended up splitting up, and then I just went into a downward spiral. And in 2014, I kind of hit rock bottom, and I, you know, was back home in Morgan Hill and went to my favorite childhood park and sent out a goodbye text and slit my wrists and thought that was going to be the end of it, and that I wasn't going to have to deal with this anymore. No one else was going to have to deal with me. And, you know, I obviously have a bigger purpose because I'm still here, and they were able to track my phone and find me before I was gone. And, you know, I had to go do that 72-hour psych hold, and they patched me up, and I kind of had to make a decision after that of what type of person I was going to be. And I think at that point in time is when I kind of opened up a little more. And I started, it started out, my buddy and his wife took me in and they let me stay with them for a while. And it started with sitting in his backyard, just chit chatting. And then it became, you know, almost like this friendship therapy session where I was able to vent and, you know, just bounce ideas off of him. And I think that was the start of me learning that communication was going to be my biggest ally.
We're talking with Jason Conrad, former Chico State men's basketball player. It is Mental Health Awareness Month. No better person to talk to than one of the great players in Chico State basketball history, helping lead them into this great run of success. But more importantly, Jason sharing his struggles at times in his life with mental health issues. And so getting back to the 2014 and kind of getting back, you know, having that moment where you're saying, all right, where am I going with this? What am I going to do? What's going to be happening with this? Once you have this low of low moments where you just don't even want to be here anymore, now you're learning about how important communication is and how vital it is to mental health and getting advice and just leaning on people. How did that develop and how did that lead to you and your continued recovery?
I just, this whole aspect of me creating this new circle, and as you know, time went on, because it's still a learning experience day to day for me, just trying to find out my niches and what's going to work for me as far as a healthy coping mechanism, because unfortunately, I figured out all the wrong ways to cope, but that translated into me learning all the right ways to cope. And, you know, I would never tell anyone to stop their medication or anything, but over the last 5 years, I've been able to go medication free because I know my warning signs. I have my circle of people I talk to for certain situations. I can feel it when I'm going to hit a high or when I'm going to hit a low. And I know the correct healthy coping mechanisms that are going to help me get through it. And it all started with communication, being able to communicate with family and friends and making sure that I invested the time in myself to go see a therapist when I needed to, which is honestly something I still struggle with today, trying to, you know, invest in myself, I should say, is really hard because I have this thing now where I want to help everyone else. And sometimes I get into that a little more heavy than I should. And I need to remember that, you know, I'm still here and I'm here for a reason. So I need to put myself first and be the best version of myself for me so I can be the best version of myself for these people I'm trying to help. And going off of that, I just was able to create this foundation for myself to be able to build on. And like I said, over the years, it's just gotten better and better as far as the things I'm able to do, the way I'm able to communicate, and it's, you know, hopefully just going to get bigger and better, but I'm very happy with where I'm at this point in time.
Touching upon the coping mechanisms, when you feel that you might be getting maybe too high or maybe getting too low, did that come strictly from speaking with mental health professionals, or were there things that you learned kind of on your own and said, maybe let me try this? Did you do some of those a little bit on your own? And then you discovered, you know, this does work for me. And did they all revolve around communication? Or are some of them say, you know, this is a time to get busy. This is a time to, you know, really focus on my art. How did that come about, the coping mechanisms?
So actually I have a mental health awareness business that I started up called Luminines, and that's what I'm trying to teach people. So coping, all of it is communication. And there's this common misconception that you need to be talking to someone for it to be communication. But I learned that that's not the case. I can communicate through art. I can communicate through poetry. I can communicate through my fitness. I can communicate through my cooking. There's all these different things I'm able to do. And a lot of it is just letting the people in your circle know what means what. And once you're able to figure that portion of it out, you know, and the key thing is that it's healthy and productive coping. Once you're able to figure that portion of it out, I think it becomes so much easier to regulate yourself, and maybe not even regulate, but to be able to get to a point where you know you're going through something, but you know you're going to get through it.
We're talking with Jason Conrad, former Chico State men's basketball player, talking about mental health awareness and his sometimes struggles. And is it a constant? Is it constant? Is it something that you, people talk about? It's always going to be a focus. It's always something. It's part of me, and it's always something that I'm going to need to be aware of. And the more aware of it I am, the better it'll be for me, because then I'll know how to deal with it. Or is it something that you can completely, and this is kind of the novice question, I mean, is it something that you completely doesn't become a factor in your life anymore?
No, it's an everyday battle. Monday I woke up and I was depressed, and, you know, nothing brought it on. I was just depressed. I was just going through some stuff, and, you know, everyone has their story. Everyone has their stuff in life that they're going through. And I think that's the hardest part. And like I said, I think I've gone through certain things to be able to get myself through certain things. And, an example of that is, so after my suicide attempt in 2014, I continued to go on to play in Canada. After that, I went and played in Australia. And then I came back home for a couple months, and I met a girl. We were dating for a little bit, and then I ended up going back overseas. So then I went and played in Germany, and then went to China. And then in China, I had this crazy event where my appendix ruptured, and we were doing a charity event in Chengdu. And when I was out there, it was kind of my first actual culture shock. And, you know, these houses were made out of mud and bottles, and, you know, the kids were coming up to us because they had never seen black or white people before. And it was kind of crazy to see. And so here we are, and my appendix ruptures, and I have to go to this hospital where they're blowing cigarette smoke in my face, and they're literally spitting on the floors. And I had this surgery pushed on two metal tables pushed together, and woke up with a tube sticking out of my stomach. And then I ended up getting held there for 6 days, and they wouldn't let me leave. So it was one of the, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
I was strong enough to get through that, and then I came home, still with the same girl, then went and left for my next season in Australia. And then I found out after Australia I was going to go play in South America, and then after South America I was going to go back to Europe. And a month into my... So me and her ended up breaking up because I was going to be gone for 2 years. And then a month into my season, she called me to let me know she was pregnant. And, you know, being a dad, having a family, being a husband, I mean, those were all things that were on my radar and things I wanted. And so I had a discussion with her and asked what she wanted. And I ended up retiring after that season and came home. So came home, I got an everyday job, and I ended up working at a high-end athletic club running all their youth programming, and I fell in love with it, loved what I was doing. My son was born in 2017, everything was good, and then 2 years later, me and her were having issues, and we decided to take a break. And then we decided to get back together. And the same day we decided to get back together, she asked me to meet her on my lunch break. And we're standing in the middle of a Starbucks, and she decided to tell me that he wasn't my kid. And, you know, automatic denial set in. Here I was. I had given up my dream career. I was back at home working a job I loved but wasn't getting compensated for. And, you know, kind of just the automatic denial set in. I found out 2 days later that he wasn't mine. And then to add insult to injury, he ended up being my friend's kid, which just made it that much worse. And then finding out that they both knew the whole time just, you know, threw me into this huge limbo. And I honestly can say that if I didn't go through what I went through in 2014, there's absolutely no way I would have made it through this. And I was at a point where I reached out to anybody and everybody. And I'm not one that posts a lot of, like, help me stuff on social media. But I, you know, had people that knew me at Chico State that were contacting me. I had people I had never met before contacting me. And just having the self-awareness to reach out and ask for help in any way I could get it, I think definitely, I will say, saved my life, because I was at such a low point then that it was, you know, this was what I had to lean on. And it was a blessing, the amount of people that reached out to me and helped me get through that point. Because I thought 2014 was going to be the hardest time of my life. Wasn't even close to what I went through with, you know, waking up one day and having a family and then waking up the next day and having absolutely nothing. And that's kind of when I got back into basketball, which is when I met Rob back with the Sun Kings. And to talk about coping, every time I was overseas, I would try to involve myself in the community because that's just something I enjoy doing. And I would do that through art. So when we were playing in Yakima, they have the schools on the reservations out there, and all their after-school programming funding had been cut. So I talked with the school district and talked to the principal and ended up starting an art program while I was out there. And I went into it, and I, you know, I like to have like 10 to 20 kids to keep it interactive, make sure there's enough people. So I was just hoping I had that many kids the first day I showed up. And I walk in, and they're like, oh, we moved it from the library to the gym. I was like, oh, okay, there's something going on in the gym. And the first day, I had 97 kids. And by the time it was done, I had over 150. And it ended up being the largest free art program in the state of Washington. And, yeah, I mean, knowing that I can do stuff like that and have an impact on, you know, these up-and-coming youth and be able to tell my story, which I think is the biggest part. I mean, obviously I tell different versions of it according to my audience, but when I'm able to talk to the high school students, they get the full version of it. When I'm talking to the younger kids, it's more about the mental health and being mentally strong and how to deal with certain situations. And it's just been this evolution, and it's turned into me starting this company to, you know, it's a slow process, but hopefully turn it into this organization where I'm able to teach people how to communicate through this healthy coping and how to regulate themselves and not be afraid to use, you know, whatever form of communication it may be. And I'm, you know, hoping, I mean, one person or a million people, anywhere in between, as long as I can do that, then I will be successful with what I'm trying to do.
He is Jason Conrad, former Chico State men's basketball player, with his amazing story of not only basketball and art, but overcoming and really the mental health fight, and how things that he has gone through and has emerged to be, you know, there's giving back and then there's really giving back. And he has taken what has been a challenge for him his entire life, and he has turned it into a positive, where now he helps inform people, teach kids, and raise awareness for mental health issues. And as we wrap up our interview, Jason, I want you to talk about one. Talked about the foundation that you've started for mental health. Talk about that a little bit more. And if you want to share information about that, you're more than welcome to. And two, you are preparing to do something to do something that on its face seems kind of nutso. but it is incredible. You are planning next year to run across the country from Newport, Oregon to Boston. Explain this.
It all started with I don't know if you guys know who Mike Posner is, but a Mike Posner video I saw. Singer, and he had a music video, and he went on this journey of self-discovery, and he, you know, obviously had the resources where he could bring a huge posse with him, and he walked across America, and he walked from the Pacific to the Atlantic. And it just got me thinking, like, I can do that, but I can run it instead of walk. I think it took him like 6 months or something. And so I got the idea that, you know, in honor of mental health awareness, I'm going to run across the country. And so that's what I'm going to do. So I was going to do it this year, but COVID put a little bit of a damper in that. So in July of 2022, I'm still deciding if I'm going to start in Boston or in Newport, but Highway 20 is the longest highway in the United States. And I'm going to run it from one end of the country to the other. So it's 3,665 miles or somewhere in there. And I'm going to try to do it in 124 days, and specifically that number because that was the average number of suicides in 2020. And I think just, you know, honoring the people that are fighting their battles, honoring the people that are fighting battles with other people. And, you know, essentially it comes down to everyone, because mental health isn't a thing where it's just this person or this person. It's a humanity thing. It's something that everyone struggles with, regardless if they have a diagnosis or not. Mental health is, like I said, a human thing. And so I think just trying to bring awareness. I mean, you touched on it before. We have our Kevin Loves and our DeMar DeRozans and our high-profile athletes that are advocating, and I love everything they're doing, but I want to show people that, you know, I'm not a big name. I'm not a household name. I'm not someone that if you drop my name, people are going to know me, but I want to be, you know, that person that people can look at and be like, oh, well, this guy, he was able to do some big things just because he wanted to. And I'm hoping that can snowball, and that I can hopefully inspire some other people to, you know, make a stand and use their voice and use whatever platforms they have. And, you know, I've been fortunate enough to, the league that me and Robert Duncan played in, I have a partner. Now I'm co-owner of a team that'll be in the league next season. So that's going to become my platform. So basketball has saved my life in multiple ways. And now it's saving me in a way where it's going to become a platform for me to branch out and do all these other things. So through this pro team, I'm going to be able to get involved with the school districts. I'm going to be able to start and grow my, well, actually grow the company that I currently have. And, you know, I'm trying to do my part, and I'm learning every day. If you guys haven't, you should check it out. There's mental health first aid classes where you go and learn certain scenarios and what to do in certain situations. And then I'm also doing my peer health certificate, which is going to allow me to run and orchestrate support groups. And, you know, I think at this point in my life, mental health is my biggest passion, and being able to spread the knowledge that I've been able to acquire over the years is going to be something that I'm gonna be happy with. And again, the whole mental health thing, being happy with yourself is so much easier said than done, especially when you get stuck in a certain mindset. Because I can tell you, being bipolar, that once my mind was made up, like, it was really hard to change it. And that was, you know, highs or lows. Once I was in that groove, it was really hard to change it. So being able to do the things I'm doing in the way I'm doing them, but also be one of the survivors, I think is going to make a huge impact. Hopefully, that's my hope, that it's going to make a huge impact, and it's going to show all these other people that they're able to do the same thing.
Jason Conrad has been our guest. We've had a lot of interviews during our Chat with the Cat segments over the last several months, but probably not one more important than spending time with Jason today. And learning about his history, his struggle, and how he is continuing to overcome it on a daily basis. Jason, it has been a thrill. Before I let you go, what's the name of your team?
The basketball team will be the Salem Capitals, and we'll be in Salem, Oregon.
Wow, man. Oh, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. So, have you reached out to Western Oregon a little at all? I mean, you're in that area. I mean, it's in that Salem is right there.
No, we're still, actually, we'll sign the contract for our venue. We're going to play at the Armory in Salem, which is totally awesome. You know, I have my order of operations. I'm trying to do things in a row because Murphy's Law, if I don't, then something's going to be a kink in the chain somewhere. Yeah. So once I get this contract signed, I already have my community members and city council members that I'm in cahoots with. And then I'm hoping to, you know, get the community involved because our platform for this team is community. So we'll obviously have the pro team, but we're going to be doing, you know how you guys have cats in the classroom. Yeah. We'll have capitals in the classroom. We'll be working with the school districts. We'll be working with organizations. My contact within city council is very big on mental health awareness and advocating. So I'm super happy about that. We're going to be, doing charity work and helping with homeless. So, you know, anything we can do to lift our city up, we will definitely be involved with. And then I'm hoping that my company, Luminines, will be able to have some sort of play in that, and I'll be able to make a big difference.
Well, Jason, you are making a big difference, and I'm just so thrilled we were able to touch base and you could share your story with us and with the Chico State family, those of us that watched you over the years and watched you on the basketball court and really had no idea the things that you were going through. But I'm really happy to hear how well you're doing now and continued success. And of course, if you ever need us for anything to help promote, once a cat, always a cat. We're always here to do it.
I appreciate that.
Jason Conrad has been our guest. And of course, if you missed any portion of this interview today, you can always catch it in archived form on ChicoWildcats.com. You can also go to KPAYSports.com under the podcast section. Jason, thank you very much and best of luck in the future. We'll be keeping a close eye on you we may want to talk to you again when you get close to starting that 3,600-mile trek across the country. I hope you have a masseuse or somebody that's going to rub your legs and feet as you're going.
No, it's in the works. I'm putting my team together.
Awesome.
And then if you don't mind,
sure.
I will be – so I have a clothing store that's attached to my mental health awareness company.
Sure.
And all the profits from that will be going to fund this run because it's going to cost me around $50,000 once it's all said and done. So I'm trying to raise a portion of that. And so all the profits from whatever I sell on that will go directly towards this run. And anything extra, I donate to my mental health company that I work with out here called Cascadia Behavioral Health.
Well, tell us about the clothing store where we can help help fund the run.
It's luminines.com. It's Luminines, and I actually got the name from my lucky number is 9, and then to illuminate, to light up. So I just fused them together, and then just the positive connotations with 9 on cloud 9, dressed to the 9s. So, you know, it's personal to me, but it also has this underlying meaning of, you know, to lift up. And yeah, so I have a website, and it's, you know, like I said, my side project right now, because I have my everyday job, I have the basketball stuff, but I try to, you know, be as engaged as possible, and I have all the social media to go along with it. But there's a link attached for the store, and then also I have some blog posts on there if anyone wants to read, you know, kind of part of my stories, and it's something I'll definitely be more engaged with from this point forward.
Fantastic. Jason, thank you for joining us, and best of luck in the future, and we will be in touch.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, that's Jason Conrad, former Chico State men's basketball player, and we really thank him for sharing his story about mental health during Mental Health Awareness Month, and he is on an incredible track right now. And as he mentioned, if you are having trouble with mental health issues, if you feel you need to talk to someone, reach out. Jason exemplified it and talked about it in detail. The most important thing, reach out, talk to somebody, and get help.